From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A month ago, a series of wildfires swept through the Central Valley. The TCU September Lightning Complex burned almost 14,000 acres across four counties. The wildfires were sparked by a statewide lightning storm that saw over 9,000 strikes, which devastated the Gold Rush town of Chinese Camp in Tuolumne County. Officials have launched efforts to begin clearing up the damage, but the healing process and recovery is long, and some historic buildings have been lost forever. Today, we're going to check in on the community about how they're doing and what still lies ahead. Joining me now is Steve Griefer, the Tuolumne County Supervisor for District 4, which includes Chinese Camp. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Supervisor Griefer, I'd love to start just learning more about you and your connection to Tuolumne County.
Yeah, actually, my connection kind of goes back a long ways. I was a transplant from the East Coast. My dad worked for IBM. I grew up in South San Jose. I discovered the mother lode and the gold country through the Boy Scouts. And then from 2012 to 2022, I was the local highway patrol officer stationed. And so I lived up here. I worked up here. So there's a pretty much not a spot I don't know of this area.
Yeah. And you took office in January, correct?
I did indeed, yes.
Yeah, and there wasn't really an easing in period, unfortunately, given this wildfire. Chinese Camp, of course, falls within your district. For people who aren't familiar with this historic Gold Rush town in Tuolumne County, tell us about us. Help us visualize the importance and significance of Chinese Camp.
Well, imagine going back to the founding of the state. Chinese Camp was a location where a lot of workers came in, and it was kind of halfway between, say, the Bay Area and the gold country. Sutter's Creek is to the north of us. There's a lot of gold and mineral rights through here, as well as lumber, timber, agricultural. So it was kind of a hub for trains. It's also a point where people could come and go on their journeys. Mark Twain was out here several times. So it's really steeped in a lot of history. It's also a very common movie filming place, House on the Prairie, Little House on the Prairie, as well as Back to the Future series were all filmed here. So it's a very historical part of our state, and it's a great little spot to get away. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the crown jewel, which would be Yosemite National Park.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. A gateway to Yosemite, Tuolumne County, of course. You know, this area, of course, also lives with the threat of wildfires. Did you expect this lightning complex, when it first ignited, to get as severe as it did?
Well, fire is a complex, you know, force of nature. And my first real experience with fire is when I transferred here to work back in 2012 when we had the Rim Fire. And that was at that time one of the top 7-8 wildland fires that we had here. Now it unfortunately doesn't even break the top 10. So the community, you know, if you look around, one of the oldest, if not the oldest bar here is called the Iron Door. And it's because the doors are solid iron. So the community has learned throughout the last, you know, 175 years how to address and deal with wildfires. This case, I think, was an unusual situation from the aspect of it was so big over a long period of time, and there was so much happening in so many different counties. They were just trying to assess the situation as it was literally unfolding.
Yeah. The Tuolumne County Historical Society says the last block of historical buildings in Chinese Camp was destroyed by the fire. What does that mean for the community to lose a cultural resource like that?
It's devastating from the aspect of, you know, there's a lot of history here. You know, the people that live in this part of the country and this part of the state, they're independent, they're hardy, they are proud of their history. They are connected. Everybody knows everybody. And they take these things very personally when they lose something of this significance. The properties themselves were a little run down. We were working on coming up with a plan to address it, but obviously the last thing we wanted was a major fire to completely destroy and eradicate that history.
Yeah. And those buildings, as they existed, they're lost forever.
Correct. And, you know, with the new laws, both good and bad, you know, we want to be able to save what we can, but we also want to make sure that the people that visit them in the future are safe. So those Buildings, unfortunately, are gone, but we're going to work with our other elected officials and historical societies. We've got great partners looking at helping us out, potentially either rebuilding it or making it a park with a remembrance zone, something that'll make people kind of come here and stop and think about what was and what the future is.
Yeah. Governor Newsom issued an emergency proclamation for Tuolumne and Calaveras counties 2 weeks ago to help with recovery. What kind of assistance have you received so far?
We're still in the beginning. It's really early. As you know, sometimes government moves slowly. And before we put the cart before the horse, we want to make sure that we have everything in place. We've had great communications with our partners at the Capitol, OES, or Emergency Services, making sure that we're ready for the next phase. The American Red Cross has been very helpful getting supplies and things out. And now we're in recovery, and recovery will be two phases. So the first phase is kind of the immediate threats, as we saw with the Palisades fire or Eaton. Crews will go in and remove the immediate hazardous stuff, propane tanks, car batteries, old ammunition, thing that might be there. And then the second phase will be kind of really being on the ground, assessing burnt out facilities, removing scrap metal, the old cars, assessing water wells, as well as septic fields. And the state has been really working very well with us. And we're very proud to be able to call upon, whether it's our senator or our assemblyman or our congressman, everybody's been really helpful.
How long do you think phase one and phase two will take?
Phase one will be about 2 weeks. That's kind of the easier of the two. We have the volunteers and the trained specialists, which will be going through each property. We lost approximately 50 properties, so we have about 50 homes that'll have to be assessed to find out what that is. And then phase two could take up to 6 months. But obviously, we're going into the winter, so that could drag things out a little bit. And then obviously the holidays, too. I mean, those kind of things, unfortunately, do slow things down. But I know that everybody is ready to get back on their feet and back at their homes.
Yeah. I mean, and as we're talking today, the federal government is currently shut down. Are you concerned about whether this could impact any funding or federal resources that would be available to help? I mean, I think of FEMA.
None of this time, because it hasn't been classified as a federal emergency. So on one hand, we're fortunate that the shutdown has occurred now because we're not in the process of that. Obviously, we will continue to work for federal funding, and we'll just have to wait and see how this plays out on the federal level.
Yeah. What other concerns do residents have when you talk to your constituents about recovery and the debris removal?
It's just the unknown. It's human nature to want to get back on your property, to get back living a little bit of normalcy. So we want to make sure that when people come to us and they want to start rebuilding, that we have processes in place. So we want to make sure that we're not creating a second problem by rushing. As you can imagine, a lot of these are wells, so we want to make sure that the water's good. A lot of properties are septic, so we want to make sure that the lines are good and the tanks are flushed and ready to go before we start telling people to start building. Really the other side of that, too, is we want to kind of be the big brother and sometimes say, wait, stop, let's look at the full plan before we rush into something. And that's usually the toughest, because people want to get back to their normal lives. They want to start rebuilding. They want to start going through. And sometimes we have to say, hold on a second, so that they're successful in the future.
Although, I mean, you're a longtime resident in Tuolumne County. This is your first year as county supervisor. How has this experience been for you?
I would say it's a challenge. I'm very territorial. So when it comes to what's happening in my district, I want to be as much of a part as I can without being a hindrance. I don't want to get in the way of good work. But I was also very blessed to be able to patrol and serve this community as an officer. So I've seen both sides, the response as well as the recovery, and I know how government works. So I think the last 21 years of being an officer, that training has really kind of kicked in and being able to say, hey, okay, it doesn't seem like this is normal, but it's really normal. We'll get through this together.
Outside of Chinese Camp, what other parts of your district have been affected?
Well, Chinese Camp is kind of its own little town. So it's a pass through. People would come there. There was to stop. There's a great little store there. So if you're traveling through, always, you know, stop at the Chinese Camp store. You know, but people want to go up to Yosemite. So there was a little bit of impact on the roadways there, but the roads were open. you know, they, a lot of people, I would say that the thing that probably impacts the most is the people that live in Chinese camp that work either at the mill or they work in town. You know, they're struggling to find ways to get to and from work and things like that.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Tuolumne County Supervisor Steve Griefer about recovery for the historic Gold Rush town of Chinese Camp, which was devastated following the TCU September Lightning Complex last month. We have talked on Insight numerous times in recent years about the strained state of California's FAIR Plan, which is the insurer of last resort when it comes to fire insurance. I imagine this impacts a lot of people in your district. How are they navigating that during this time, especially after a wildfire?
They're not. 85% of the homes that we lost didn't have insurance. They can't afford to pay for insurance. So the question came down, do I put my kid in college? Do I put food on the table or do I buy homeowners insurance? I live about 15 to 20 minutes east of where the fire occurred, and my homeowners insurance alone is $8,500. So I'm fortunate to be able to absorb that into my budget. But some of these homes, they're multi-generational homes, mm-hmm. and they can't absorb that. And the FAIR Plan is not fair to the people. It's 100% a hurdle for people to be successful in trying to buy a home or rebuild their homes because they can't get insurance.
What are the longer term consequences to Tuolumne County and your district?
Well, the county is, you know, is struggling as well. The entire county majority is on FAIR Plan. So we're restricted on, or people are restricted on building homes and getting new mortgages and selling homes and things like that because we can't get insurance. The you know, Prop 103 is, you know, a major hurdle of, you know, overcoming the insurance issues, getting people to understand that, hey, it's really not a county issue. It's not us putting these restrictions in place that won't allow you to build because you can't get the insurance. So it's a very complex and a multifaceted problem where insurance is really the keystone to all of the major problems.
Hmm. And Prop 103, that was passed decades ago, correct? And that mandates prior approval from the insurance commissioner for any rate increases?
Correct. And if, to put it in perspective, you know, like you said, I think it was in the late 80s when that went through. It says that you can't, the insurance companies can't, you know, continue to raise rates at a quick rate. The problem is that when you stagnate those rates and you don't allow in fair market, you don't allow competition, you get a flat rate. And then on top of that, the cost of building a home or refinancing a home or what have you during a major event like this skyrockets. The reverse is true in Florida, where their rates are high, but they also cover their losses. So right now we've got things in place which are preventing open business, which is preventing the insurance commissioner from him doing his job, which is preventing people from, you know, shopping for fair market value for their insurance. And it's just killing the rural counties.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, I mean, this impacts the future of counties like Tuolumne County because there are residents or people who live in the county that might be reluctant or unable to rebuild or return.
Correct. And then on top of that, we, you know, Tuolumne County is kind of an unusual county because 90%, if not more, of our lands are not owned by the people. It's owned by either the government. I mean, it's open. You can go to them, but we don't receive tax money from that. We can't build upon that. So we have a very limited footprint of where people can build their homes or what have you. So we always try to find ways to bring economic development in. We want to have, but I can't get people to come and build a house here or work, buy a house here if the insurance rates are so exorbitant. And then that kills future, you know, economic development. So it's just it's a bad legislation. It needs to be changed. We need to do something because at this rate, there won't be a future for rural California because people can't afford to live here.
Yeah. And you're in your first year as supervisor for District 4. So you're in a position of leadership and power. What would you like to accomplish in your first term?
Your request for this interview is right on time because I had already planned on addressing this, kind of getting through the first year, you know, the freshman year, kind of understanding where, you know, where I need to go. But then the fire hit and all I've done since September 2nd is talk to every person possible, whether it's the federal government, it's the local government, gubernatorial candidates, organizations, because we have to all come together and realize that what is happening is almost criminal, and we need to change it. And somebody needs to shine the light on the fact that we cannot continue to do business in the state of California, especially the rural areas, when it comes to the cost of insurance, because it's so cost prohibitive, no one's going to want to move forward.
Supervisor Griefer, thank you for taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm always available. I will sing from the rooftops, whatever it takes to make the people of not just Tuolumne or Chinese Camp, but the rural counties, you know, understand that there's people out there who really feel passionate about. If you had told me, do I ever feel passionate about insurance? I would have said, nope, I am not. But I am now, because it is so important that people are having to choose whether to eat or insure their homes. And we just can't live in that society any longer. We can do better, and we have to do better.
Yeah, and that's why we've talked about it a lot on Insight, and it's far from over. Steve Griefer is the Tuolumne County Supervisor for District 4, and we've been talking about recovery for the historic Gold Rush town of Chinese Camp, which was devastated following the TCU September Lightning Complex last month. Up next, Sacramento Republic FC showed up for the Jägermeister Cup glory, but they came up short. However, the big picture isn't an entire loss. We'll learn how this final cup is part of a larger momentum that is more than soccer. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.